This is Let's Keep It Real with Sandy Joy Weston, your weekly dose of positivity with awesome stories and guests from all over the world. It's an opportunity to learn some great new things and expand your mind. We'll tackle topics from all areas of life, and as always with Sandy, the sky's the limit.
Okay, my Let's Keep It Real people. I'm so sorry. I just want to start off with that. I know it's been a beat since I've been doing my Let's Keep It Real podcast, but I wanted to wait until I got so inspired with my guest. And okay, I was traveling for the summer, so there's that. But it'll be worth the wait. And I was changing who I wanted on because people were sending me ideas, and then I got more ideas. So I think to come back strong, Bill, do you think you're the man? I think
I am the man. I am the man. We're going to have fun.
Yeah. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing, Sandy?
Well, I'm doing well since I just got back from Nashville, and I always thought that was really cool going to all these cities. But then, you know, you've been all over the world and doing 8 keynotes in 8 weeks. So what the heck?
Yeah. The spring is a busy season for keynotes, and I landed 8 different ones and got to travel to Europe a couple times, and then some local, a couple in Canada, just got back from Washington, D.C. So it's been a really fun spring.
And did you get to take your family with you someplace?
I did. Yes. So we went to, I had an event in the Netherlands in Utrecht, which is outside of Amsterdam. And then we had the weekend over there. And then I had one in Antwerp. So we got to see the Netherlands and take the train to The Hague. And then we went to Antwerp and we got to see the art museum, and they have a chocolate museum. A museum dedicated to chocolate. I mean, how awesome is that? To Belgian chocolate. So with tastings.
So, really?
Really, yeah. So, you know, that was kind of the dream when I started doing this keynote, was taking an 8-week vacation, or 8-week, oh, if only, an 8-day vacation. But 2 of them were working, and the rest was we got to see a part of the world that we hadn't been to before.
Years ago. I don't know why I didn't do it again, but I'm going to do it. I had this map I would put up, and I would put pins in where I wanted to go. And then I asked my husband where they want to go, and then my son. And that's where I went after speaking gigs, and it always worked out. And half the time, like 4 times, I go by myself, 4 times the whole family came, and 4 times individual. And I loved it. And now I'm taking gigs that people offer me, but I realized I didn't do my map thing.
Yeah.
I got my map thing. So I'm like, ooh, I want to go to, I don't know, England. I want to put a pin in there, you know, or I want to go Kentucky. And it really did help me focus in on. Did you ever do that? Or you just, what comes your way, comes your way?
So I like the way you're doing that, because it's kind of sending the message out to the universe, hey, I'd like to go there. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking about it. Have I done that with a map? No. But I did it 25 years ago, write down some goals I had in life. Didn't even think about where I had written it. Found the document on an old computer drive some months ago. And it was amazing the numbers I had checked off just by writing it down and putting it on the document. So I think the map is a great idea. And now I'm thinking I've got a follow-up from our discussion.
Because my son came here and goes, where's the map? When do I get to go to something? I'm like, oh, crap, I got to put the map up. Yep. All right, here we go. Bill is a keynote speaker, author, and game show, which I love this alum. I can say in all my 16 years, I've never had this. Yeah. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Who teaches audience how to laugh their way past stress and towards success. We might have something in common. Known for using rubber chickens. Come on, I got Big Bird.
I see that. I see that in the background. That's awesome.
Known for using rubber chickens to deliver serious takeaways. Phil blends humor with science to help people, I love this, perform under pressure. Which I'm sure the show was. His book, Fry Your Chickens, love the title, is a no-nonsense guide to shutting down self-doubt and lighting up your potential. All right, well, we got lots of questions for you.
Yes,
but
I do.
I want to start with my first question. When did you start doing keynotes and why?
When I was in Toastmasters, which is a communications organization, and when I first joined, I found out they had this thing called the World Championship of Public Speaking. And I've always been competitive. So I tried for years and I would fail. But if you win, you keep going. And out of 20,000 people, one person every year is the world champion of public speaking. So in 2011, I went all the way to the finals. So the I made the final nine.
That's huge, people, for Toastmasters. That is huge. And you're in Cincinnati, right?
I'm in Cincinnati, right. And then in 2015, I made it to the semifinals, but had a heart attack. That's another story. And so I had to skip the semifinals. 2018, top 20. And somewhere between 2011 and 2015, people started saying, would you come and deliver a keynote for us or a symposium session? And I'm like, sure. And then they said, and we'll pay you. I'm like, wait a minute, what? That's a thing?
Oh, you didn't know that? You didn't know you could get
I mean, I'd heard of it, but I'm like, really? Yeah. And that's really bad negotiating for him. Oh, I'd do it for free. Oh, well, then in that case, yeah. But it grew from there. And in 2022, I did a symposium that they really enjoyed it. They started hiring me for keynotes. And so it kind of, all the tentacles reached out from that gig. And in 2023, I was so busy that but I'm still doing my full-time job, right? It's a side gig.
What's your full-time gig?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was an IT professional, project manager and business analysis and all that for international paper.
Totally and different.
So, I'm sorry, what?
Totally different.
Yes, but if you're a project manager and or a business analyst with communication skills, you really have a leg up on a lot of the competition.
Okay. All right, cool.
So, because you have to present to the business, hey, here's what we want to do, right? So there was that. And I got so much business in 23 that I ran out of vacation. And so I retired in 2024 so that I can do as much keynote business as I want to and travel the world.
Dream come true, man. Dream come true.
100%.
But you can see how much you worked on your skill. Look at you, you know, from Toastmasters. Every time you entered that, whether you won first place or not, you were up in your game, man.
And we talked already about the thing of goals. When I read it, one of the goals was, I really want to get into speaking and do more speaking. The next sentence was, I'm not very good at it, but I enjoy doing it. And this was from the year 2000. And so the more I worked at it, the more I found my voice and I love doing it. And when you love doing something, it shows and people can see, I'm into this. I want to help.
Okay. So you mentioned, I want to be a millionaire. What made you want to do that? I want to be a millionaire.
Well, and so at the time I was telling people, well, my grandmother passed away not long after the show started, but she always liked watching it. And I was like, you know, I think this would be a really cool thing to honor my grandmother's memory. Uh-huh. On the other hand, had the show been called Who Wants $100, I don't think I would have gone to honor my grandmother's memory. So there was this, I saw the show and I was like, this isn't Jeopardy. You get multiple choice because in Jeopardy, I couldn't come up with the ideas and you have to phrase them in the form of a question, blah, blah, blah. But this was multiple choice. And I called in on all the auditions and I wasn't successful there, but it was one of these things that became an obsession. And that's why I talk about my keynotes. Sometimes you'll have a goal that's an actual kind of obsession for you. And so I wound up auditioning three times.
And what year?
So it started in 99. So the obsession started sometime in 99.
Okay.
And I'll tell you where it really ramped up was one night I was watching the show because I always watched it. And somebody won $250,000, and I knew every single answer to all of the questions he had, plus the $500,000 that he passed on. And it suddenly hit me. It's like, you know, it'd be cool to be on the show, but holy cow, that's real money.
Yeah, yeah.
$10,000 or $1,000 is real money for that matter. Yeah. So I just kept going. So what was it? It was 2001 or 2002, I can't remember. I auditioned in Cleveland after learning from my mistakes in the prior two auditions. And I got a card in the mail. Hey, you are in the contestant pool. Then about November of that year, we went up, recorded it. It would have been 2002 because it aired in 2003.
Okay. And?
$32,000.
Tell us about the experience. Was it nerve-wracking to be on? Nerve-wracking and fun?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good way to think of it. The most nerve-wracking part is they bring you in a couple days early because they run four shows at a time. So you're in there a day early just in case they have a bunch of contestants that bomb and they need more contestants. And they bring you into the studio ahead of time so you can practice getting in the chair, out of the chair, all that. And then you talk to the executive producer. And as I'm sitting there, I start shaking. I was like, this is really happening. It was a 3-year pursuit. And holy cow, within the next 2 days, I'm going to be out there. And then I started thinking, how many people are going to be watching? And what if? And so, you know, that's the chickens inside your head going, oh, you're going to fail. What I did was I decided, okay, at every question, before I'm on camera, I would just close my eyes for a second. And when I open my eyes, it's just me and the question. Meredith Fear is not there. The audience is not there. Because this is what I've been practicing is all these questions. So just close your eyes, open it, question. And that seemed to work.
I like it.
Yeah.
I really like it. So even though you didn't get, you know, a millionaire, you still won $35,000.
Yeah.
And that's fun money. That's a lot of fun money.
Oh, no doubt. You know, and I'm sitting backstage because you got a free guest at $64,000. I had two lifelines. And I'm sitting backstage and it suddenly occurred to me how I could have figured out the right answer. So I'm beating myself up a little. And they bring my wife back. And she said, we just won $32,000. And I was like, holy cow, we did. That's real money.
Are you kidding?
You know, and you get so wrapped up in the game, but it's like, yeah.
2002.
Yeah. So I know, right? But you get so wrapped up in the game, but it's like, you know what's coming in the mail? It's going to be a check for $32,000 coming up. So, yeah, it was. And that was, she gave me a little perspective, right? I'm beating myself up. You didn't get 64,000. She's like, dude, money.
Yeah. You're a persistent bugger, aren't you?
I am. Absolutely.
And this, you can see, I kept doing it. Once you got that goal, and like you said, you really wanted to do it. That's it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, setbacks are inevitable. I actually reconnected with the associate producer from Millionaire. You know, he'd seen tens of thousands of people through shows, but we connected on LinkedIn. I said, you don't remember me, and so we talked for a while. He said, do you know the difference between celebrities and the rest of us? He said, it's one thing. Celebrities don't fear failure. They don't let failure define them. If there's a failure, they just learn from it and move on immediately.
Like that. I did not think of that with celebrities.
Yeah. He said he was there when Regis Philbin was the host, and Regis Philbin pronounced the word desert as dessert when he read the question, and the audience laughed, and there was no retaking, nothing. Regis goes, oh, you think it's so easy? You come down here. And then he read all the answers. He goes, Sahara dessert, Gobi dessert, and just made a big joke about it, and boom, moved on. And I think that's brilliant. I probably saw that episode because I watched them all.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, you don't let failure define you. And it's tough, right? Because, again, I always use rubber chickens, right? Oh, you failed. Don't ever try again. Stay back on the couch and so on. You just got to go out of here.
I had a coach one time. I was wondering why I used chicken. But then I realized every time I was like, I don't know. She would be like, rah, 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 rah.
That's how I started. I changed it to rubber chickens along the way, but it went.
Right.
It makes an interesting picture when you do that.
You know, I think I trained my brain at a very young age that failure to me was not putting myself out there. It wasn't that if I didn't get it, of course I wanted it. But the reason, like my husband was like, why do you do that to yourself? 37 rejections. 38 could be the one.
Right.
And I didn't think of it that way. I would be more disappointed in myself if I didn't try.
I love it because that plays with another one of my rubber chickens. I call this the one you need to be afraid of.
Oh my God, you got different rubber chickens.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And this one is 29 inches. I call them the red rooster of regret. When you don't try, when you don't go for your big goal, inevitably you're going to have regrets. And then he just, you know, he's if you squeeze him really hard, he'll do a 45-second howl. And so he's in my keynotes, right?
I was just going to say this. Please tell me you do this on stage.
Oh, absolutely. I bring in volunteers to do it. And it's hilarious. And then they get a free little rubber chicken or something. So I get the little ones. You fear regrets. So you got to put yourself out there. And that was it with Millionaire. That was when I asked my wife for the first date. Way back when I was like, well, I'm scared, you know, the chickens, it won't work. She's out of your league, et cetera. But I knew I would regret more if I didn't at least ask.
Yeah.
And that's how it is.
All right. So let's get into the feathers because I freaking love this stuff. I love this. Name your chicken. Stress is easy to manage when you give it a face or feathers. Let's talk about that. I want to dive into it because I got a lot of questions about this.
So,
go ahead.
No, please finish your question.
So, I got in all the questions, I tried to compile them. It's all right, let's just sum it up. I know what my stresses are, but I don't have a solution to get rid of them. Now, what? One woman said, can I skin my chicken? I thought that was pretty funny.
I love that. Yeah. So that's where the book kind of comes in too. But so, I made up names for a lot of these chickens. And one of them is Doubting Dave. You know, I doubt you can do that. I doubt you're going to be able, I doubt she'll say yes when you ask her out for a date. And you just have to silence that one and say, I'm going to try because regret is worse. Or Negative Nelly, putting all those negative thoughts into your head. When I start having negative thoughts, and remember, I'm a game show geek. You know how on Family Feud, that big red X comes up when it's the wrong answer? That comes up in my head. I'm like, play the X. That negative thought is the wrong answer. And it's, you get this like silly quick jolt in your brain. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to move on because that's the wrong answer. The other one I talk about a lot is, I actually have a little dude. He's cute, but he's Couch Potato Carl. He never wants you to take any action. You know, you're going to be safer just staying at home, right? Well, the answer is take action. Take the first step. Get out of your comfort zone. I know that's trite, but everybody says get out of your comfort zone. But the fact is we're wired for comfort. Nobody goes to the mattress store and says, give me a bed of nails, right? Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with being comfortable, but life happens outside of that comfort zone. Life happens on the planes on the way to the event. Life happens when you ride a roller coaster with your son when you're in your late 40s. So, it's when you're more alive. So that's some examples. Can you skin your chicken? Yeah, you fry them. That's the book, fry your chickens. And here's the problem. I don't know if they're zombies or what. They keep coming back. You're always going to have the voices inside your head that say you're not good enough. You're not. You know, the flight over to one of the events with my wife, when my wife and son came with me, we had a delay and got rerouted. And so instead of sitting next to each other in the plane, they found us three spots on the plane from Minneapolis to Amsterdam. And I'm uncomfortable. I'm thinking, why am I doing this? You know, who's saying that? Why am I doing this? It'd just be easier. I can speak at home. I don't need this hassle. Well, then the next day I'm walking with my wife beside a canal in the Netherlands. I'm like, that's why I'm doing it. And you just got to remember. And I am really, really big on looking for the good things in life. It, you know, that fires up the good stress hormones in your brain and lowers the bad ones. And so first thing in the morning, I look for, hey, what's good?
All right. I want to back up a second because I want to make sure viewer and listeners get this.
Yes.
When stress is easier to manage when you give it a face. So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm thinking like when you name it, right? When you give it a name. But okay, now I gave it Doubting Dave. Now what?
I think having a name and having that like rubber chicken, like right? This is a glow in the dark one, by the way. You know, I'm just a sucker for rubber chickens. But having that, you know, it's just a little chicken. It's just Doubting Dave. And remember all of the other times that Doubting Dave was wrong, right?
Okay.
Once it's like he wasn't right. I got a date with her and we've been married almost 35 years. So when you start having those doubts, just remember it's wrong. Once you prove one, you know, boom, then it becomes easier. They'll still squawk, but it becomes easier to say, no, you were wrong last time. You're going to be wrong again.
So a reframe, because I do this all the time. I've never named them like this, but I like this. And I definitely like negative Nelly because I say that all the time. When I don't deny my fears, I acknowledge them and I sit with them. And then I do the same thing. And I said, well, this has come up before. It's not right. And then I send it off into a cloud. And then I do a reframe on what do I believe and how can I get closer to overcome this? Mm-hmm. But I've never put a name to it. I like putting a name to it because I am a very goofy person. So it would make me happy to give it a name.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so.
But it's the same thing. I'm thinking, all right, I don't push them down. Like, I'm very honest with myself. Like, okay, don't say you don't have a fear that it's stressing out, blah, blah, blah. For example, oh my God, Phil, I love speaking. I enjoy it. I'm not saying I'll get a little nervous, but really it's like little butterflies. Then I'm on stage. I'm fine. The last thing I went to, somebody got in my head, who's a big event planner, and said, you know, the group you're speaking to, they're all event planners and they could make or break you. And I'm like, eh, I thought I brushed it off. It must have bothered me right before I turned white, like, holy crap. They are all, I'm speaking to event planners. And then I walked away and I had to do, wait a second. Just be you, go on, breathe. And I told myself jokes and then it was fine. But what would you have done differently to calm me down in that situation?
Okay, so first off, I would have looked at the event or the person who told you that and say, what the hell are you thinking? Why would they say that to you? Yeah. Okay. This could make or break you. What does your mind instantly say? Break me? Holy cow. Right? So, okay. So, but let's set that aside. What would I do if that happened? Before I go on, you know, you got that moment backstage and I just kind of take a peek out at the audience and I say, you know what? I love each and every one of these people. I am on a mission to give them a message. All you people out there, let's play. Let's play. That's what Drew Barrymore says before she does her scenes in movies. Let's play. And when
I like
come from that mindset, we're going to play. We're going to have fun. I love you all. And you are part of my mission to do a little tiny thing to make the world a better place. Let's do it.
I like that. Let's play. Yeah. Let's have fun. All right.
Cool. Yeah. Well, and the other thing you always got to remember is they're not coming there to heckle you. They came there because they want to hear what you're going to say.
Yeah. Wait, has anyone ever heckled you?
One time in a keynote.
Never. All right, go ahead.
One time. It wasn't like comedy club heckling, but just kept interjecting and interjecting and saying things fairly loud until I finally did this for about 3 seconds, got the message. That was it.
Real? You didn't even have to say anything.
Not a word. Just stared her down for 3 seconds. We talked afterwards, but it was like, that's it. You know, my turn. They didn't come here to hear you speak. I didn't say any of that. I thought every bit of it.
Your eyes did.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was like, you know, and it was enough. It was a short enough pause that not everybody else in the room necessarily knew what I was doing. But it was a long enough pause that she definitely knew what I was doing, and that was it.
Brilliant. All right.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah, but in the moment, thank God you didn't lose it because other people may have said
so. Right? What are you going to do about this? She's ruining it for you. Right? So it's just like, okay, I'm going to stare you both down.
All right. I just have to ask.
Sure.
Do people send you these chickens, or do you collect them along the way?
Hang on. I will be right back.
All right. I'll talk
about it. Here it is.
Oh, that wasn't.
Here it is. Somebody made me a crocheted rubber chicken. A friend of mine. I went to Memphis and we were having dinner and his wife, I'm friends with him and his wife, and his wife came up and said, I've got something for you. And it actually has a squeaker inside of it.
Does it get better than that?
Cool. It doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. I have never taken this to any event. you know, if one of the other ones gets lost in the airport, whatever, I can get a new one. This is a one of a kind. And I also put it on the very top shelf so that would, if the dogs were to come in, they can't get to it. So yeah,
thoughtful.
Yeah, this was a gift. So yeah, actually, somebody left a rubber chicken keychain on my mom's door up in Northern Ohio. And she's like, why did they do that? I said, that's my cousin Terry. He found it and said he wanted to make sure I got it the next time I came and visited. So yeah, it's fun. And people.
It's brilliant. I love it. It's simple, but you take, even the fact that you're funny and your presentation is amazing and you're breaking down really serious stuff that people can say, oh my God, it doesn't have to be that difficult. Right.
Right.
Now I got a visual.
Right. Right.
And my brain is very visual. I like.
Yep. And I'll tell you the other thing that Fry's Chickens is laughing. You know, all the negativity, this sucks, right? You start laughing and they're like, oh, it's hopeless, and they fly away.
Since I'm the joy girl, I'm not sure what would my thing be. I got to think about it, like, because it's not an object, right? I speak a lot about joy. So I have to figure out what's a visual. Ponder on that. All right, listen.
I let me think about that. I want to think about that. That's great. Yeah, because I fell into the chickens, right? But yeah. There's got to be something.
Yeah.
Some little animal.
We do dance. So there is that. All right.
That's great.
You like that? Anyhow. All right. Big goals into 15-minute wins.
Yes. Big fan of that. When I talk about project goals, because I came from IT and project management. It's like, and this is taken from the book Getting Things Done by David Allen, one of my favorite books. He's got a PhD in psychology, but he tells you how to get things done. And the thing he does is, you know, if you've got a great big project, then just take a minute or two and think about what is the very next action I could take to move forward on that project, whether it's a personal project, a work project, whatever. And in those 2 minutes, when you think about it and you write it down, you will feel better. You will feel more in control. Your stress will lower. And you haven't done a thing on that project other than say, this is the next small win that I'm going to have. So, and I actually sometimes do 25 minutes. Pomodoro timer. Okay, I'm going to get this done in 25 minutes. Boom. And it gives you the, I'm a big checklist person, check things off.
Yeah. Well, I love crossing things out. I love it.
Okay. So let me ask you, because I do this. Do you like, if you do something that wasn't on your list, write it down and then cross it off?
Yes.
Yes. Isn't that awesome? It's like that little hit of dopamine.
I have, look, even before, I keep doing it and I check and I check and I check.
Yeah. And each time it feels good. It feels good. It can be a 5 minute. You just check and I did something.
Oh. And if I do something that I don't really want to do, I call eat my peas. It gets a big R because I don't want to do it. Okay, I'll do it. And I eat my peas first.
Yes. Yes.
I got to get it done.
Yep.
Okay. Protect your golden hours. Tell me.
Okay. So everybody's different. Some people are really productive in the evening. I'm more productive in the morning. So, I did this back when I was working too. I was remote, so I would have meetings. And the meetings were me meeting with myself. But those were the hours that I had to get all the important stuff done. And then maybe later in the afternoon when there's a lull, you know, it'll be more energizing at that point to talk to somebody, do whatever. But, and maybe 2 to 3 hours across the day probably. But the hour that I protect the most is first thing in the morning because...
Okay, so it could be any hour, but you, that's it.
Yeah, because first thing in the morning, you can do things to put yourself in the right frame of mind or the wrong frame of mind. So if you get up first thing in the morning and turn on the news, you're in trouble. So there's a study done about 12 years ago, Sean Aker and Michelle Galeen. And Sean has a great TED talk on positivity and happiness. So ACHOR, I watch it repeatedly. He's hilarious. But the research they did was they took their group, broke them in half. One group, one half got to watch 3 minutes of bad news to start their day. 3 minutes, that's it. The other group got 3 minutes of solution-focused news. At the end of the day, they
said— There is that? There's that news? What channel is that on?
I don't know. I think they may have made it up.
Okay.
I don't know. But it was solution-focused. So maybe they showed him a TED Talk. I don't know. The important thing is it wasn't like positivity. It was just, hey, solution-focused.
I love that.
At the end of the day, they said, how was your day, to both groups? And the group who started with 3 minutes of bad news was 27% more likely to say they had a bad day. So I protect the opening of the day, and I have positive rituals. I call it ABCD. A is positive affirmations. I have a rotating set that come up every day. B is I read an uplifting book. For me, it's the Bible. It may be something for different books for different people.
I got it.
The third thing is coffee. I love my sip my cup of coffee. And then the fourth thing is the dogs, D. Because dogs will start you off on the right foot. If you're a dog lover, I mean, you wake up and they're like, oh my gosh, my favorite person. I haven't seen you in hours. And you give them dog food. They're like, this is my favorite food. How did you know? So, and by the way, dog food tastes terrible. I lost a bet with my son, so I know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. Had to eat a half a dog treat. But they love it.
Captain's better.
It probably is, because the cat food has
sugar. It is. Why do you think the dog always wants the cat? We have five cats and a dog. Always want the cat's food.
Oh yeah. Yeah, when we had a cat, that was the big game, was see if you could find a piece of cat food. But they're so positive, right? And so I protect that. It might be 30 minutes. First thing in the morning, that there will be no email. There will be no text. There will be no nothing but that little ritual that wires my brain for positivity.
Yeah, I love it. And for me, I am a night person, but my morning, I do have at least 30 to 45 minutes, similar thing, out on the porch, come rain or shine, I do it. But then at 10 p.m., my brain goes on with ideas, which is different than protecting my time in the morning.
Right.
And I don't care if you're a morning person or not. I'm just going to go out on a limb. How you start your day really matters. So whether it's a few minutes or an hour, it sets the tone.
100%.
Night person. I don't care. You need to have something that sets the tone.
Yeah. And that's what I like about being, you know, just having my own business now. I don't need to do 9 to 5. So if an idea hits me at 6 o'clock, I can spend PM, I can spend an hour on it. And if an idea doesn't hit me at 1 o'clock, I can go take a walk.
Isn't that great?
Yep.
Okay. So I got a lot of questions on this one. Stress is a signal, not a stop sign. And, you know, you hear about it all the time recently. Anxiety is high. Everyone's having more stress, even if they didn't feel it before.
Right.
Even if you don't watch the news, you cannot not be aware.
Absolutely.
It does affect everybody's energy system. So how can they shift it to work for them? Because you're saying it's a signal, not a stop sign.
Yeah. So this is my way of saying you got to recognize the stress. You may have to change some habits, but you can't let it stop you in your tracks. The stop sign would say, okay, well, it's stressful out there. I'm going to just crawl into bed and stay there with my crocheted rubber chicken and not do anything. That's not the answer either. But this comes from somebody who didn't recognize stress in his life until it was a heart attack.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah, so I had to change things, but I couldn't stop doing things. It's not who I am, but I couldn't, you know, there were habits that had to change. There were getting enough sleep, changing my morning routine, not hooking myself up to a coffee IV every morning, those kind of things, right? Leaving with plenty of time for the airport as opposed to seeing if I could make it. If I could beat the last record where I ran onto the plane, you know, stupid things, right? So
that's not stupid. That drives me crazy. Like it's a game to, oh my God, I have to get there 2 hours early. My husband's like, let's see if we're going to make it. Guess what? We'll drive separately. I'll tell you that one.
I agree. You can sit down, you can read, you can read all the time, right? But you can sit down and relax a little bit before you get on the plane. There were some behaviors that I needed to change. And a lot of times with stress, that's exactly what it is. What are you feeding your brain? Are you getting enough exercise? Are you getting enough sleep? I mean, those would be the three, right? What are you feeding your brain? What are you feeding your body? In terms of, and in both cases, exercise. And are you getting enough sleep? That was one I was terrible on. I would just, I can stay up late and work or, binge watch Netflix.
It's a badge of honor. So many people are like, I don't need much sleep. I'm like,
yeah, I did. And so a lot of when I write books and what I put online is I'm trying to give people the benefits I got from a heart attack without the heart attack.
That would be good.
Yeah. If I knew it was going to help everybody, I'd just be like, Oprah, you get a heart attack and you get a heart attack. But a better way would be to learn the lesson and not have the heart attack.
There's that. All right. So the recap, when you're feeling stressed and anxious, don't ignore it. Check yourself. What is it you need? Do you need to slow down? Do you need to refocus? Do you need a new routine? Do you need to cut somebody out of your life?
No doubt. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What is it? Use it.
Absolutely. You got to cut people out of your life. You can do that on social media. I've got friends that are extraordinarily negative on social media. They just get blocked. Yeah. Mm.
I would block them too. Yeah.
Be nice if you could do that in real life, right? Somebody's coming up to you just complaining about everything. You just go, plop! And
you can. You're not going well, but you can.
But it'd be cool. They wouldn't know they were blind. Well,
I'm glad you put this last because we talked about it a little bit at the beginning when it says celebrate every fry. I get so excited. I do. I do a happy dance. Even when I get the worst rejection, wait a minute, I thought you picked me and you didn't. I still do a happy dance to celebrate that I did something.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe.
Now, in the moment, I don't know about you, in the moment with a rejection or a yes that turned to no, I might go over, I've got recreational baseball bats that aren't autographed and I get room in my office. I might just like go over and pretend I'm smashing something with a baseball bat to blow off a little steam. But then I come back and reframe it and say, you tried, buddy. You did your best.
I go on my mountain bike. My husband just brings me my bike and go out for a bike ride. And then I talk to God, who I call Neil. And I'm like, what, Neil? And then I'm blah, 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 my argument. And me and Neil have a discussion, and then I sit under the tree. I'm like, I'm a crier. And then I come back, and then I do my happy dance. Yeah, I should have sat there the whole routine before the happy dance.
I love that, though. I do the chicken dance, but of course I do.
Yeah, of course you do the chicken.
I mean, the audience is, if you're in one of my keynotes and it's about frying your chickens, get ready to do the chicken dance before the end of the hour.
Okay, I was going to say do the chicken dance now, but I don't want you to because I want them to see the chicken.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's sort of like that, but.
Yeah, it's probably out on my YouTube channel somewhere. I've led a few of them. We call it the heavy metal chicken dance. My oldest son composed the heavy metal version of it.
I like that, heavy.
Yeah. So, but it's all about de-stressing, laughing, failures are going to happen. Setbacks are going to happen. You don't let them define you. You just reframe it and have fun. One of my favorite quotes is from Gary Vee. Somebody said, tell me something that'll motivate me and make me want to do things. He said, you're going to die. You've only got so much time. How are you going to use it? Right?
Well,
they weren't expecting it. But it's like, there's a condition that is 100% fatal, and it's called being born. You don't know when it's going to end, but eventually it will. So, are you going to let these little guys take up all that time, or are you going to go out there and have fun and enjoy life?
You know, I have a moment here. I just thought of something I haven't thought about in, like, oh, my God, thousands of years. I was on a park. This is something I heard when I was a kid. I was nine. Ready for this? I'm on a park bench with my peeps. Keep in mind, it's the project. And this woman, who at the time I thought was some, gypsy spiritual leader, whatever, but she probably was, hallucinating on acid. Looked at my hand. Wait, Phil, I'm nine. I'm nine. I already got, I'm living in the. And she looks at me and she goes, "Oh my, honey, you have a very, 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 very short lifeline. Sorry." Well, I'm like, "Sorry, I got big plans, right?" Well, from that moment, I was like, "Are you kidding me?" I was carpe diem. And I didn't forget that. But then once I crossed 21, I said, I think she may have been out of there. But it did keep me in that mindset. So it was like I better seize the day. I got to go after things now. I can't wait till tomorrow. I got a very, 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 and
I love that.
it wasn't good, but I think I'm good now. I think she was wrong.
She was, but you probably got to do a lot more in that time frame and accomplish a lot more with that attitude. In our head, logically, we know that this is not an infinite life, but a lot of times we act like it is. And when you realize that you only get so much time to make a difference, it makes a difference in what you do.
She definitely made me the opposite of a procrastinator. And it was so instilled in me, even though I was like, I think I'm good now. That mindset was already in gear. Isn't that crazy?
Great. Lucky for you, that lady on acid was there that day.
Lucky. Let's go with lucky. Well, maybe. Oh, Phil, you've been fun to have on. Thanks for coming on. I'm glad we
This has
figured
been
it out.
great.
I know you got a lot going on. What are you going to do the rest of the summer?
We got vacation coming up. I have a couple of events, but not much. The summer is a time to go vacation. I'm going to also go camping 1 week. And it's time to kind of kick back and then plan the fall, because the fall it starts up again, and where I've got events and coming to a continent near you. I actually have one in South Africa in the fall. I'm looking forward to that so much.
That would be so much
Oh
fun.
yeah. Oh yeah. So again, I'm going to relax a little bit. I was talking with another speaker. I said, now, when I get home, and the speaker agreed, yeah, this is how it is, I'm going to say, ah, I'm off the road. I get to rest. And a week or two from now, I'm going to be like, I want to get back out there. What am I going
Yeah,
to do?
it's a good thing.
It
All
is.
right, words of wisdom. Anything that we didn't get in that you want to have peeps part with?
I think we covered most of it, but just do the things that are going to make you happy, that are going to make others happy. Share the love. I didn't talk about that one, but if you could see the whiteboard behind me, in the lower left-hand corner, I've got a really nice whiteboard, 4x8, love it. But in the lower right-hand, left-hand corner, there's a little note that my wife wrote, love you with a heart. It's been there for about 4 years now. And just something a little simple. Share the love with somebody today. Tell them, hey, you're awesome, and here's why.
Yeah, I love you, man.
Love you.
Phil, how can they find you?
PhilBarth.com.
That's easy.
And I would also like to thank the other Phil Barth, who years ago let his philbarth.com expire so that I could grab the website.
Really? What were you doing before that?
philbarthspeaks.com. So he was all right, but and I told that story at an event in Toronto, and a lady came up to me afterwards. She goes, I'm from California, I know him. She said, he's a chef, I know of him. I said, next time you see him, please tell him I said thank you. And it ain't never going back to him. So philbarth.com.
Okay, so when they want to book you for a gig, that's where they go.
Yes. Yeah. And then there's a how can I help you? Just send me the note. I will get it. And if you're asking, hey, can you come and speak? I guarantee you're going to get an email from me quickly. I'm also on the socials, Facebook, LinkedIn, but yeah, so connect with me. I love.
Are you on Phil as Phil Barth or the Chicken Man?
Oh, I got to see if that's available. Phil Barth on LinkedIn, and Phil Barth Cincinnati, Ohio, something like that will get you to my Facebook profile.
Cool beans. Thanks for coming on. I'm glad
Thanks
it
for
worked
having
out.
me.
All right. I loved it. My Let's Keep It Real people, you're going to share this. You're going to like it. You're going to rate it. Of course you are. It's been very entertaining. Plus, there's some really good takeaways that I freaking love. And I can just see people going out, by the way, and buying some chickens as reminders. I can just see it. Everybody needs to name their chicken. Thank you so much. And you know what I'm going to say? Until next time, toodles.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to share and subscribe if you enjoyed the show. And remember, keep spreading the positive.